Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that, Lord, that you would bless this time that we have together here this morning. May your word go forth. May people pay attention to it. And may they truly be convicted and give thought to the things that we speak of here in Sunday school this morning. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It was quite a few years ago that these words hit me. Now, we have the sinful nature at times can enjoy receiving a compliment. It can get to people's heads and make them feel, the result of pride is this, you start to mistreat others the more proud that you get. Okay, but then there are compliments that encourage rather than discourage. Hopefully, as you live your Christian life, and as the Spirit of God works, and really as Satan works in you too, you start to understand what's important and what's not important. And over time, a quote-unquote compliment encourages you in the faith rather than discourages you, or rather than is a sinful temptation for you. And we see a tremendous compliment given to some Old Testament worshipers here in verse number 38. And it is an incredible compliment. Does it affect? Now, they're dead, so they're looking back at them, so it's impossible for a dead person, somebody who is in heaven, to become proud, because our belief is, biblically, is that once somebody dies, as far as saved people, now I don't think an unsaved person, when they go to hell, I don't think they lose their sin nature. I think that sticks with them, stays with them. But when a saved person dies, I believe their unsaved nature is history. It no longer affects them at all. But here in verse number 38 was an incredible compliment. The writer of Hebrews writes, of whom, now for context's sake, I'll start with verse number 33 for the context of this particular verse, 38, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And some of these really, you know, we need to think about them, okay? We have it easier in the United States of America right now. Other Christians have not had it so easy. They have been physically assaulted and physically killed. It always amazes me. We'll see it here in a second. But the sawn asunder. They were sawn asunder because they were worshipers of the Lord. Now, I'll read verse 35 again, at least start to. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, which means they could have been delivered if they wanted to. But they refused to give up their Christian testimony, and decided to be tortured rather than compromise their faith. And they did that, last part of verse number 35, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Okay? It's not fun to be mocked. It's also not fun to be scourged. I've never been scourged. I've been mocked, not scourged. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. That means they were had rocks thrown at them until they died because they wouldn't compromise again. They were sawn asunder, split in two because of their worship of God. Were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. That means they didn't have the things that other people had. Being destitute. Afflicted, they were also tormented. Now, a lot of us can't say that we've had these things experienced these things, but there are Christians who can say that they have experienced them. They are undoubtedly my heroes. Now, a lot of them are dead. Some of them are still alive. Without a doubt, these people are heroes that have gone through this. Now, like I said, they're mostly dead. If they were alive, I wouldn't tell them that they're my hero because of that that temptation to think highly of oneself. But then the Bible says here, of whom the world was not worthy. Now that really caught my attention. And I dare you to think about it too. Of whom the world was not worthy. God says this, obviously, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that these people that went through these things, that I want to be accurate here, and so I'm just throwing things out here, I guess. What does the world mean? It can mean, you know, the people, the unsaved people in it, were not even worthy to be around these people. It can be that the earth was not even worthy to be around these people. So they're not thought of very, they were not highly thought of in the eyes of the people at that time. But they were highly thought of God so much that the Bible records that the world that they were in was not worthy to house them. I dare you to think about that. And I would encourage you as well, I would love to be this kind of person. Not for a wrong motive, not for pride, but I would love to be this kind of person for the Lord's sake, to have it be said of me. Now, the truth is, we'll never know that this was said about us. Because the truth is, if you live for God in this life, you will be a hated person. You will be despised. I believe that. Now, it's hard for me to preach that. It's hard for me to say it because we live in such a prosperity theology. Christianity is full of it, of prosperity. You live for God, you're going to be blessed. Now, if we can look at living for God, being blessed, being spiritually blessed. Now, we will also have things, but how do you explain so many people being put to death for the Lord's sake, being tortured, as we see here, and being tormented? Obviously, their blessing there is not a brand new house, but they have spiritual blessings. And God was able to say about them, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The writer is saying this to say that they had no home. They were living by faith. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the world was not even worthy to have them there. So I do just kind of give you a little question. Do you desire to be a person that is like this? In which the Bible could say about you, of whom the world was not worthy. Now I see some things here in this, this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Is many times referred to as the faith chapter or the hall of faith, because there's many people that are called out here in how they exercise their faith. That's something I've learned about Christians, and myself included, is many times we are tested, our faith is tested in different ways. My faith is probably tested in a different way as far as the main test of your life currently. My life may be tested very much differently than you do. And therefore, many times we often look at faith in a different way depending upon your circumstance of life, how you exercise faith. But it's faith regardless. We see here verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is a writer trying to explain it here. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, how can there be evidence of things that are not seen? Well, that is faith. That's what keeps a Christian going. Is evidence of things not seen. That's why a Christian can continue to go forward, even though a Christian can endure some very difficult things. They keep going forward, and I guarantee you that God is pleased with a Christian that just cannot be stopped. Satan tries to throw a lot of things at that individual. Now that individual, if I'm talking about myself, we're going to fall. We're going to trip sometimes. But at the same time, we're going to get up. I often look at a Christian like a running back in football, if you're familiar with the game of football. They've got 11 guys on the other side that are trying to cream them. But you know what? They get hit. They break a tackle. They keep going. The goal is that end zone. And all those 11 guys on the other team are trying to put them on the ground. And they take hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, but they keep going. The goal is that end zone. That's the way we as Christians undoubtedly should be, that we cannot be stopped. Now, Satan is very powerful, and he's going to try to stop us, but we must keep going. So let's look at some things here about these people of faith in the hall of faith. How could it be said about you that the world was not worthy of you? Well, let's look at verse number 7, referring to Noah here. I believe that if it can be said about you of whom the world was not worthy, you're going to have to know the Word of God. You're going to have to know God's Word. God's Word is going to have to be your passion. And let me say this, it should be your passion. If you're a Christian, it should be your passion. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit of God that is in you, that is speaking to your heart, and it just gels so well. The Holy Spirit of God with a Christian and the Word of God, I mean, it just gels so well. I'm an individual that really enjoys cooler temperatures. Now that it's fall, I'm going to enjoy these cooler temperatures. It's supposed to be hot today. But you know, a high of 65, I mean, that just feels awesome. You know, you got the sun shining too. It just gels very well. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and a Christian gels very well to the point where you want to do it a lot. You want to be in God's Word a lot because it is a very much a blessing. And let's look here at verse number 7. By faith, Noah being warned, okay? He was warned. He was warned of God, of things not seen as yet. So what we see there is we see the revelation of God. Noah was warned. He received a warning. Who? From where? From God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So the warning that he got from God moved him to fear, with fear, and because of that, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had access to God's revelation for him, and because of that revelation to him, he decided to act on it, and because of that, he became here, according to verse number 7, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah, the reason that ark was made was because he was a man of faith, because he received the Word of God. One needs to receive the Word of God to be able to be a person of faith. Satan will put up some roadblocks for you to be in his word, though. I believe that very strongly. Satan does not want you to grow spiritually. He doesn't want that to happen. And so he will try very hard to make sure that it doesn't happen. But let's go on to Abraham here in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Once again, we have revelation of God to Abraham here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. In other words, he didn't know where he was going, but he responded in faith to the call of God, which once again is the revelation of God. It's God revealing what his plans are. Now, how does God reveal his plans? He reveals his plans to us in his word. And going back to faith again, an individual faith, what keeps me going? The Bible. What the Bible says. Because if without the Bible and we experience the circumstances of being a Christian, we can start to question things and say, am I doing something wrong? Well, if you look at the Word of God, you can find out, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. This is what happens to a Christian. And I can exercise faith and I can continue to go forward. And what areas in your life that you have to exercise faith? I think it's obviously different for a lot of people. Real Christians need to exercise faith constantly. There's always things we need to exercise faith in. And so Noah and Abraham there received the revelation of God and responded to it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 18, continuing to look at what is said concerning Abraham. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Looking at verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, his faith was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why could Abraham do all of this? Why could he go to sacrifice his son? The Bible says in verse number 19 that his faith was so strong that he was willing to go through everything because he accounted that God was able to raise him up, Isaac up. His faith was so strong, he knew he could kill Isaac, but he knew that both of them were supposed to go back. That's what he told the lad. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And then referring to the people that were with him, because it was only Isaac and he that went to the place of the sacrifice. There were other people that were on the trip too, but they stayed behind a tad. Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and then we will come back again. Why did he say that? Because he was a man of faith. He knew, I always like to say this, he could have strapped an atomic bomb to Isaac and it could have blown up. And I think his faith was so strong, he knew that both of us would come back anyway. And so that's how he exercised faith here. But I wanted to say again, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why is it that Abraham could do this? Because he received the revelation of God that it was going to be through Isaac. The line was going to go through Isaac. So he knew, and Isaac did not have any children yet. And so he knew that it's got to be through Isaac. God said it was going to be through Isaac. And I believe that it's going to be through Isaac. Therefore, 100 people could shoot Isaac, and Isaac still has to have children. He exercised faith because of what the Word of God said. Now let's go back to verse number 11 of chapter 11, looking at Sarah here and how we have to know the revelation of God. We have to know His Word. Hebrews chapter 11 with Sarah, it's verse number 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Okay? If I see an individual working on a vehicle, and it very much looks like, and they're doing a very difficult job, I don't know, a new head gasket or something like that, and they're able to accomplish that, and I'm watching this whole thing, I will have a lot of confidence in this mechanic that if I have an issue with my own vehicle, I could take it to them or I could ask them about it. And I have a pretty good feeling that they're going to have a good idea as to what the problem is or as to what needs to take place. Why? Because I watch them work themselves. We all do this. We all get confidence by watching people do certain things. That's what Sarah did. She has observed God through the years and decided this God is faithful who had promised. So once again, we have more revelation. Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Who is the hymn referring to? The hymn is referring to God. She decided this God is faithful. This God is worthy of following. Therefore, I am going to do it. God is worthy to follow. That is why Christians can keep going forward, because they have decided that God is worthy based on what they have seen. Let's go verse number 13 here of Hebrews chapter number 11. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them." They were 100% confident in the promises, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These people that acted as strangers and pilgrims. This is not my home. My home is in heaven. I am here. I have a job to do. That's what it means to be a stranger and a pilgrim. This is not my home. I am not living for this life. I am living for the next life because of the promises that they had been given. They paid attention to those promises. And it's wise for us to pay attention to the promises of God's word as well. And we have to do our diligent study to find out what those promises are and what those promises aren't. It is not wise at all to believe that you have a promise that is not intended for you. You don't want to put your confidence in a promise in the Bible that was not intended for you in the first place. Okay, it can be intended for a particular man, like Abraham, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. Don't take that promise to heart for yourself, okay? In other words, you walk around a certain area and say, God's going to give me this area because I'm accepting what he has said by faith. That's not going to work unless Satan wants to make it work for you. And many times Satan has that ability to do that. But these all died in faith. They didn't receive the promises, but they knew of them. And they were living for these promises. And so they received the revelation of the Lord there. Let's go to verse 22 of Hebrews and chapter number 11. Verse number 22, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at Joseph. "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Evidently, Joseph was knowledgeable about the fact that they were not supposed to stay here in the land of Egypt. They were supposed to be there for 400, 430 years. Evidently, he knew that Egypt is not supposed to be their permanent dwelling place. But they sometime are supposed to move on. And because of that, he made mention of the departing, gave commandment concerning his bones to bring the bones with him and to bury him in the land of promise that God had given to Abraham. And so how did he know that? Well, he certainly was given information that had come from elsewhere that this was the plan of God. And so how do you know the plan of God? You receive the revelation of God. You receive the word of God, and through that, you are able to know what the future is, and you are able to know what you need to do with yourself as a result of what God's future plans are. Let's look at verse 28 of Hebrews and chapter number 11. It says, referring to Moses here, by the way, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." How did he know to keep the Passover? God had said so. God had said to keep the Passover and to do everything that was done there when the Israelites left Egypt. I just got done reading through that, and it says all the time, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." I wonder how many times those words together are in the Bible. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying..." So Moses certainly received the revelation of God a lot and made application to that revelation. So I wanted to show you here that these people of God, in other words, if it could ever be said about you of whom the world was not worthy, you're going to have to know God's revelation. You're going to have to know what the Bible says so that you can live in a particular way, so that you can be pleasing to God. Let's look at some verses here that refer to God's word. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Read verse number 1 here a second. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, I read that to show you that Moses is now dead. So now it's on Joshua. Joshua needs to lead Israel to their land. And that's why it is said, God says to Joshua in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Because if you are going to lead these people, the children of Israel, to the land of Canaan, what's one of the requirements that you are able to do this is that the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Okay? We all have responsibilities. Some more than others. I have a responsibility as a husband and as a father and as a preacher on occasion as well. And that's a responsibility that I have for the Lord. If I'm going to be able to do this, what do I need? I need the book of the law. Now, not referring just to the Pentateuch, but I need all of the Bible so that I can do this correctly. I also have responsibilities at work. My main responsibility at work from a Christian perspective is to have that Christian testimony and to witness of the gospel of Christ. How am I going to be able to do that? I have to know the Word of God, and it helps. It really does for me to say things that are totally against the way that people live. I do that because I have great heroes of the faith. I can speak up on the things of the Lord, even the controversial topics like homosexuality. Just asked about that this last week. I said, well, the Bible says this. And they asked, well, what do you think? And I said, I agree with what the Bible says. I can do that because I have great confidence in what the Word of God has to say. So if this could be said about you, you're going to have to know the Word of God. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Prosperity and success in what? Well, what was his responsibility? His responsibility was, now that Moses is dead, it's now my job to be the leader of Israel. So prosperity and good success in this responsibility that he has for the Lord. Let's also go to 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. Emerson, could you bring me my water here? Could you grab that water and bring it up to me? I can't get it. Once again, afraid my leg would start to hurt. But my mom actually picked on me a little bit. She sees on Facebook that I was drinking water, and she rebuked me for it. That's okay. I drink from these jugs all the time. I guess, can you come back and get it, buddy? I'll take one more drink here. I've been on Benadryl a lot, which is, I'm very happy about what's taken place here so far. Last week, I was at Winnebago, and for Sunday school, I had to sit, and I was yawning all of the time. And so I kept on having to apologize because I'm yawning all the time. And I was afraid that was going to happen today because all the Benadryl I've been on and other stuff. I haven't done it too much. I don't know that I've done it once yet. I can feel one coming. It's kind of, you say it and then it's all going to happen here. But I'm thankful that I've not had to yawn very much, but I'm afraid it's going to come. I need to get off that topic or else I'm going to do it. So, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 16, referring to God's word again, how we're going to have to know God's revelation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That's the result of God's word. is that we can be prepared, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we most assuredly need the Word of God. But let me say again, is that God's Word, I think it's in Job maybe, or maybe it's somewhere else, where the Bible says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Also, other passages of Scripture refer to the taste of the Word of God, how it's so good. God's Word does not taste disgusting. It's an awesome taste. And so it's not, you know, I have an issue if pastors constantly have to get up and constantly have to tell the people to read their Bibles if they're not. That's an issue for me because you don't have to tell me to eat food. I want to do that. If a Christian also is one that wants to read the Word of God, we can get in the flesh and not have the same passion for it, but still we're going to know that great peace comes from God's Word. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 11 and continuing to look at faith with an emphasis on trials. What is faith? We talk about a trial. What is a trial? Well, when you have a trial, somebody's being put on trial to see if they're guilty of the crimes that they were charged with. When we are tried, it is a trial of faith. How strong is our faith going to be? As we pass the tests of faith that God allows us to be put under. He allows us to be put under. I think many times God takes his hand off of Satan a little bit and lets Satan attack us a little bit stronger. And the more tests of faith that we pass, I think God takes his hand off of Satan even more. And Satan comes at us. Now the goal is this. Satan comes at us and we respond by the Word of God, just like Jesus did. I believe it's in Matthew chapter number 4. And Satan realizes, I'm not getting anywhere with this individual. I'm going to go for somebody else. The Bible is very clear. Satan does that. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That is a promise that Satan will flee. But many times he doesn't give up very easily. Jesus rejected Satan 3 times and Satan left. The truth is that was not to show there in Matthew chapter number 4. That was certainly not for the purpose of saying, "Hey, all you got to do is resist Satan 3 times and then he'll leave." That's not the case. You might have to resist Satan 3,000 times. You might have to resist Satan 3 million times before he quits. But a soldier keeps going. So I believe in that very strongly when it comes to temptations. Resisting the devil, resisting the devil, resisting the devil, resisting the devil. It gets very tiring, but what does a soldier do? A soldier keeps doing it. He doesn't quit. Why? He keeps doing it by faith. Hebrews, actually I'm in James here. James is right next to Hebrews, so I'm going to read James chapter 1 and verse number 3, where it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So as your faith is tried, you become a more patient individual as your faith gets tried. So if we want patience, what do we need? We need our faith tried even more. Now, I think about something like that, and it scares me. I don't want my faith tried more. That just means more hardships, more trials, more tribulations. But I don't think the Lord gives us more than we can handle. We put the God gives his grace in every single situation to deal with it. He gives his grace. And so it doesn't make any sense to get mad and bitter at God. Because God gives his grace to be able to deal with the situation. We don't have to get upset. We can have confidence in the Lord. Many times we get upset because we think our lives should be better. But God never said that our lives are going to be free from conflict. There will be much conflict. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 7. That the trial of your faith. Okay? Your faith is being tried. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I do believe many times we live for God. Nobody cares that we're living for God. But God does. We many times don't realize that because we don't see God sending fireworks down and in celebration of our faith. But I think when we meet the Lord, yet at the judgment seat of Christ, yes, we will have some wood, hay, and stubble. But there, if you're saved, I believe there will be gold, silver, and precious stone there too. Things that we did with faith that we really didn't even think much about. We were just a soldier. As a soldier does something that he's supposed to do, whether he takes over a particular area that was controlled by the enemy, when he takes over that control, he doesn't pat himself on the back. He just did what he was supposed to do. I'm excited about meeting the Lord. Yes, there will be wood, hay, and stubble. But I'm also convinced there will be gold, silver, and precious stone as well. And we can rejoice in that. It's not for pride's sake, but it's for the sake of God. Does not forget about the hardships and the trial that we go through. And he does not forget about the times that it was easy for us to quit, but we didn't. I don't believe he's going to forget those things. Let's look at Romans and chapter number 4. Romans and chapter number 4. Romans 4 and verse number 21. Verse of faith, referring to Abraham again. And being fully persuaded. That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you living by faith, being fully persuaded. Do we really believe that we have a home in heaven someday? Do we really believe that how we live on this earth affects our responsibilities in the millennial kingdom? Do we really believe that it is all worth it for when we see Christ someday? Do we really believe that it's all worth it? Reading God's word and knowing who God is, you can be fully persuaded. Why is it that people can know that they're going to be put to death for the faith and they don't accept deliverance? They do that by faith because they understand that it is all worth it. Now, the only way you're going to come to that realization is by reading God's word and seeing, and even reading history, knowing all the people that have died for the faith. You can have confidence that it is all worth it. It will be worth it all, as the song goes, when we see Jesus. So strong faith is emphasized during trials. We don't have to exercise faith a whole lot when everything is going perfectly. We don't need to have much faith at that time. It's when things don't go well that we have to exercise faith. Hebrews chapter 11 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's an eye-opening verse there, and I strongly encourage you to meditate upon that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you even believe this verse? That without faith, it is impossible to please him. We often try to think that we can please God in other ways, but if we are faithless in areas, we're not pleasing God. We try to think in so many other ways that we're pleasing to God, but the Lord clearly says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I cannot jump to the moon. That is impossible. In the same way, it's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is God, and everything that goes along with being God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is faith. Do you believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? I'm convinced that I do. You say, why are you making it about yourself? Well, the reason I say that is because I pray. If I wasn't living by faith, I would quit praying. Why? Because nothing's going to happen. Now, many times Satan tells me, quit praying. Nothing's happened yet. nothing has happened yet, but I'm going to keep praying. Because I know whom I'm talking to. I'm talking to God Almighty, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm tempted to stop sometimes because nothing's happened. But I'm going to keep doing it because I know the verses. What does it say about prayer? Keep praying! Don't quit! Keep doing it! Don't stop. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing it. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. It's just a good definition of faith, judging him faithful who had promised. Now, Emerson is 10 years old. If I have some issues with my vehicles that need some work, I did replace the brakes, front brakes and rotors on my Escape a couple days ago. But there are other things. I need to do the same thing with my car, and one of the rear brakes, calipers, not working correctly. Emerson is 10 years old. I'm not going to tell him, hey, Emerson, go and fix the caliper on the back wheels, okay? Do that after church, and I want you done in 15 minutes. It's not going to happen. Why? Because Emerson probably doesn't know what a caliper is. That's okay. He's young. But now if I take it to some of the mechanics that know what they're doing, I could say that to them because I've seen them work on many, 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 many things. I have a friend of mine that basically knows everything. He does. There isn't really much that he doesn't know. He knows everything in the world about finances, stocks. He's a vice president of a bank. Before that, he was a mechanic at John Deere. And so he basically knows everything. And I've seen him, I mentioned a little bit earlier, a difficult job is putting on a new head gasket. I've seen him do that before. If I said, hey, I'll give you $200 if you replace the caliper on my back brakes there, I'll have 100% confidence that he knows exactly what needs to be done. Because he has shown himself faithful to know pretty much everything. Fixes his own boat motor. He used to work as a small engine mechanic. So he basically knows everything. You ever met somebody that basically knows everything? I think I know of somebody. I won't get into much else about things. Sometimes I wish some people knew more about the Word of God. it'd be amazing to see somebody that is a great theologian who also knows everything about everything. Might be difficult for them to stay humble a little bit, but God does know everything, and Sarah was convinced of that she can live for him, God, because of what she has seen from God. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11, again, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, this was a trial, offered up Isaac. What did God tell him to do? Go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your son. And he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. When I think of Abraham and this trip to Mount Moriah, I think he understood the whole thing. I think he understood completely that it was a test of faith. In fact, I think if you were to see Abraham, I think he had a smile on his face the whole trip. Because I think he figured it out that this is that this is a trial. God is testing me. Was God testing him? Absolutely. And Abraham passed with flying colors because of God's word, because he knew that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's why he could just keep going and keep doing what it is that he is supposed to be doing here, because he had 100% confidence in going through everything, getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And Isaac was living by faith too, probably because he saw the faith of his father, why he was able to lay down, based on what we know about the ages. Isaac could have gotten away from Abraham for sure, but he didn't. Let's look at verse 27 concerning Moses here. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If you have to endure as a Christian and you keep enduring as a Christian, I can tell you why you're enduring. You are enduring because you see him who is invisible. It's a definition of faith again, is seeing him who is invisible. And we need to be people who continue to go forward because you see God who is invisible, and you know that it's all worth it. If it could ever be said about you, of whom the world was not worthy, you are going to have to live for eternity. Plenty of people live for this life, what they can gather in this life. But there are some, and you can tell it about them, they're not living for this life. They're living for the next life. And boy, are they a blessing to observe, and are they a blessing to see as they live their life, not for what they can gather in this life, but their focus 100% is the judgment seat of Christ. Their focus is heaven, and their focus is their responsibilities in the millennial kingdom. They are a blessing to observe. I'm thankful for these people. And you can just tell, they're not living for this life. They're not living for what they can bring to themselves. They're not living for compliments either. They don't live to be respected. They live for God. And those are two totally different things. Let's look at some verses concerning that. Let's look at Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8, concerning those who live for eternity, those people that were sawn asunder, were stoned, were slain with the sword. It's obvious they were not living for this life. We recently heard about some of the Christians that are being killed by the Taliban in Afghanistan as the Taliban has taken over. Now, I don't know much about them, but we know that some of their testimonies is that they fully expect to see Jesus within the next week, and that was probably 3 weeks ago or something. And so it's obvious that they get it. And oh, that we as Christians would get it. It's not about this life. It's about God and the next. Verse number 34 of Mark chapter number 8, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. It's pretty clear there, not to live for oneself. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Whoa, I need to be done. We'll read this verse, Luke chapter 14, and then we'll stop. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's another verse I dare you to meditate on. If you love somebody else comparatively, if that's what it's truly talking about, sometimes people disagree on what it means to hate. It's obviously not a hatred. It's obviously not that. Many have said it's a comparison. Some have said other things. But without a doubt, God comes first over everybody is undoubtedly what that means here. And his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's impossible. Okay? meditate on that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given us here this morning. May we be people of faith, Lord. Many of us get saved not ever thinking about the fact that we are going to have to live by faith. Some may, but I know I didn't in the future, looking to the future. But Lord, you've set it up to where we learn and we grow that we have to live by faith. And we thank you for that spiritual growth and that sanctification. Help us to endure as seeing you who is invisible. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.